Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Emporium. Emporium's three Chicagoland locations combine the best arcade games, craft beer, and live events. Check out emporiumchicago.com/CPC for a free drink or game tokens. Hey, Kellen, how do we get these fine sponsors?
Well, in the ad that you just read,
yes.
It mentioned the CPC, which is short for the Chicago Podcasting Co-op.
That's right.
And as listeners of this fine program you're currently listening to will know, mm-hmm. that is a co-op of podcasters and companies here in the Chicagoland area who have teamed up to bring great content and great products to you, the listener.
Yeah. And have you been on the website lately? It's a nice website.
It's a super nice website. Yeah. I'm not sure who made it.
Yeah.
I know that it's got a great color pattern. It's a lot of pastels, and it's very
It's got calm. Like an Easter
vibe. It does.
To
it's
it. Yeah,
very,
yeah.
very calm and very inviting that way. It's got a lot of information on it, but it's not overwhelming, which
right.
is nice.
So. There's other great podcasts, mm-hmm. and one that we want to recommend today, which I'm just pulling
it
out of nowhere.
Let's see if you land it.
Koch Brothers Mystery
Koch
Hour.
Koch Brothers Mystery Hour, absolutely.
Yeah.
Brad Einstein
and Gary Pascal
have a fantastic show.
Yeah,
I think most people when they hear Koch Brothers, they're confused by it because they're not. It's a great and really smart show.
Yes.
But I feel like every time I've either talked about it, they're like, "Now is that like the Coca-Cola brothers or like those evil guys?" I'm like, "No, it's the evil guys." It's like, wait, so it. It's like, yeah, it's satire. It's very smart. Just kind of get on board, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't care for satire. I think
the system
is good it should stay as it is.
Yeah,
but these
absolutely.
Guys, they work pretty hard. So
You're a Jeb Bush supporter that way.
Absolutely. Worst day of my life about 2 days ago.
Well, I mean, hey, we predicted Jeb Bush dropping out.
You predicted so early.
So early, but I predicted it.
But no, you could, like, we were in the middle of an episode, and you were like, oh, Jeb Bush just dropped out. And we went through politics for like 5 minutes.
Absolutely. And the New Yorker laughed. They laughed at us for me biting on that.
That's right.
Small little
I do want to say, do you remember what I said when you said that?
You said I don't remember.
It's going to be Rubio.
It's going to be Rubio?
Maybe.
Yeah, hey, this is what I said about Rubio. Rubio is an excellent cyborg, but not the next president of the United States.
We need to get to reviews.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to
on Twitter this week,
okay.
There was an uproar on the Twitterverse.
A kerfuffle.
People were upset because they said, wait a second, if you go on your iTunes review, you gave Chris Chapin the credit for the first Wings-based review, and that is incorrect, folks.
To catch people up, if this is your first episode, we had been soliciting a review of our show as if it was an episode of the NBC sitcom Wings.
Yeah. We have an agreement with our listeners that if you leave us a review on iTunes, we will read it no matter what.
Yeah.
And as a prompt, as a solicitation, as Tim said, we were asking for a review from Wings.
Wings, yeah.
Well, Chris Levis left us a review on February 12th, but the internet is filled with answers. And this review was left by Stu in a Stew.
Okay.
From the pickled ginger on February 2nd. Now, if my math is correct, that is before the 12th. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is actually our first Wings-based review from the pickled ginger. Five stars, by the way. Subtitle, my favorite episode so far. Kellen is upset when Tim declines to promote him, citing budget cutbacks. When Clayton appears with his expensive sheep-lined bomber jacket for him and Tim, Kellen is now outraged and quits. Tim has to eat several slices of humble pie to convince Kellen of their partnership. Note, this episode has a flashback to how Tim met Kellen as a stewardess and how Sandpiper Airlines began.
Oh, so you and I aren't the pilots, then you and I are the love interest.
We're the love interest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's
great.
Yeah,
it's a great review. Thank you, the Pickle Ginger, whoever you are out there on the internet, and for all of your the fans out there who yelled at us. Thank you for that.
Again, if you write us a review, we will read it.
No matter what.
What do we want next? We've climbed to the top of the mountain.
Well, here's the thing. There's definitely some debate on, well, why are you guys asking for Wing stuff? Why aren't you asking for Frasier stuff? Well, guess what?
Well, but then that's a rabbit hole. What about news radio stuff?
Exactly. Come on. So what we're saying now is, how about leave us a review with some Wings fan fiction? Not a review of the show.
Okay.
Not a review of a Wings episode.
Can I throw one more little
erotic
fan fiction.
Absolutely.
That was close. But...
If we just even want to make it a little more,
yeah.
Slash fiction. That's what we're asking for. That's really what it is. We want some Wings slash fiction.
I'd say we've put in a lot of time into this intro, don't you?
I will say that. I'm going to put one more. If you leave us a 5-star Wings slash fiction review, you can come on the show. In 2016.
I'm going to call for one other thing. So that's yours. Here's mine. I would love a concession speech by...
Oh, here we go.
Any candidate. It doesn't even have to be a real candidate, but yes. Just like make sure it's like it was sexual in nature, and mm-hmm. It's bad. Like, and the wife is behind them and just mm-hmm. looking just very upset.
Trying to be supportive, but like the moment the cameras turn off, she is never,
yeah.
ever touching this person again.
5-star review, that concession speech.
We're assuming that it's a man who's running for presidency as well.
That's
as
true.
Woman.
We haven't seen the sexual concession speech from a woman yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
I
don't think we have.
It's a bummer.
Well... We can dream.
Yep. Hey, here's the episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Talking Games. I am one of your hosts. There's only two of us today.
Only two of us, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The guest doesn't speak yet, especially when the guest insisted that we say her name to bring her in.
I never insisted.
Oh, you can't talk yet.
You cannot talk yet. I will cut your mic.
We need to summon you with your name.
Tim, how are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Well, my name is Kellen Terrett, just in case people were confused.
Uh-huh. And this is a video game podcast done by people in the Chicago comedy community.
Yes. Our other co-host, Clayton...
We can't get into what he's doing,
but he's out there doing God's work.
Yes.
He's doing the Lord's work, and we're happy he's there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, if you see Clayton, give him a high five.
Give him a high five and say, thanks for doing what you did. But tonight we have a wonderful guest with us.
Yes.
She is an actor.
She is a comedian. She is a podcaster.
She's a writer.
And she's a girlfriend. Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Burton.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. See?
Hey, you summoned me. Great work.
Yeah.
Longtime girlfriend, longtime listener of the podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Great to meet you all.
Great to meet you. Yeah.
This is, so we've had two of the three girlfriends on now.
Yes.
Nicole's been on several episodes.
Several times. Well, let's also be clear. Nicole has not been on the show since we moved out of her house.
You're right.
Yeah, you're totally
Nicole
right about that.
Nicole was the default guest.
Guest host.
No.
Yeah.
But Nicole, you're a valued guest.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Just to let you know.
Like, absolutely. No. Nicole is a very valued guest. Nicole is doing very important things, like trying to get to Yuma by playing Spelunky, and also creating wonderful pillows. And her pillow career has taken off, and she has exceeded our expectations. So congratulations, Nicole.
Congratulations. I have a serious question.
Yeah.
Where is Clayton tonight? And only because you guys were real weird and shady about where he is.
We don't want to talk about it. We made a pact that we weren't going to talk about the reasons why Clayton was gone or get into the reasons why.
All the IO coaches have to take sexual harassment training.
Oh, yeah. Great. So. Been there.
We're just trying not to touch that.
Yep.
Trying not to touch that.
That's for a more mature podcast than this one to discuss.
Speaking of maturity, we're going to be talking about a game about children getting cancer. That's not what you're interested in, turn on to Pardon the Interruption. It's a great television show on ESPN. And they take that TV show and they turn it into a podcast.
But first,
yeah,
we always start out the same way. Lisa, you're a listener.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We always start out with, what are we playing? Are you playing anything other than the game we're covering today?
Great question.
Yes.
Glad you asked.
Wonderful.
That's
one boyfriend point right there. I'm gonna take some boyfriend points.
Good boyfriend points.
There might be some negative points too, so keep track.
Yeah.
I am playing Mikey Shorts on my phone. There are a few games that I play on my phone. I have an Android. I have an LG G3, which I love very much.
Great details.
And I play Mikey Shorts, which is basic. It's very much like Mario of early Nintendo.
So it's a platformer.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a platform game. And then I also play Cave. Is it called The Cave or Cave?
The Cave Story.
The Cave.
Or no.
No,
yes.
No. There's
the
there's Cave Story, but there's also The Cave.
I think it's just called The Cave.
The Cave is a Telltale. Not, yeah. No. It's a Double Fine
Double
game.
Fine.
Cave Story is a kind of Mega Man platformer, pretty crazy.
She's playing The Cave.
The Cave.
The Cave.
Yeah.
With
the
like
cave.
All those little characters.
Yeah.
Yep.
What I really love about it are those two little ghost kids. Because I love things that are spooky.
Spooky.
So I get to play those weird ghost kids.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, do you play mostly on your phone or is this kind of a new thing?
No. Actually, I recently have gotten into these games just like as like before I go to bed, or sometimes I'll play them on the bus, mm-hmm. or that kind of thing. But I actually really have enjoyed recently playing games start to finish on my Xbox, mm-hmm. or on Tim's computer.
Wait. Xbox as in an Xbox, the original, or an Xbox 360?
360.
Okay, I was about to say,
wow.
Yeah, right.
Wow,
no,
there is a working Xbox out there.
No, my Xbox 360, which the most recent one I think I played was Life is Strange, start to finish.
Great.
And
great
then,
game.
Are you in that right now?
I'm in episode 2 right now.
You're in episode 2 right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that game is great. And then, because I played Gone Home on the ship,
mm-hmm.
And I was looking for other games like Gone Home. This game is a lot like Gone Home. It was great.
Oh, mm-hmm. And you just recently played To the Moon as well.
I recently played To the Moon. And what was the other one you put on my Xbox? Or no, I played it on your PS4. Legends. No, it was the one where the guy slides down the hill, and then he slides up the hill. He's faceless, and he's got all these little friends, and he like spins.
Journey. Yeah. Slides down the hill. No, Journey.
Journey.
Yeah.
That one I like a lot,
nice.
Too.
Journey's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Kellen, what you playing?
I actually replayed Firewatch all the way through really quick.
I can't weigh in yet.
I know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, because I was like, I'd heard about there was some stuff that I might have missed,
yeah.
and I liked it, and it was like, oh, well, there's some stuff that I missed. I played it. I still like it. Stand by it.
How many hours is it?
It's maybe, I think if you were taking your time,
okay.
maybe max 4 hours.
Wonderful.
But you could probably play it in 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Very pretty. They just released a patch on the PS4, so it runs a lot smoother,
cool.
which I think would help. It's great. But I've been playing, besides the game we're going to be talking about tonight, The Witness.
Oh,
which
yes.
is done by
right,
the
right,
same
right.
guy who did Braid. I was very hesitant. The price point was a sticking point.
Yeah.
And the
60,
sword,
right?
No, 40.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing.
Nice.
I loved Braid. I was never able to complete Braid. I need to go back and finish Braid. But this, The Witness, if you're not familiar with it, you are dumped on this island. There's all these different areas, and it is just all these different line puzzles without any sort of explanation. And you can go whichever way you want to go. You can do it whatever sort of like way you can do it. There's not a lot of – I mean, there's almost no text. It's not like, this is how you do this puzzle. It's all just about like – one puzzle goes this way, so you're like, okay, cool. So if I see this happening in a puzzle, I know that it'll happen this way. I'm taking notes in pen and paper.
This is like Myst.
This is like Myst. It's a Myst level sort of game. I'm standing up and talking to myself. My wonderful and supportive girlfriend is there with me, and I'm like, all right, so am I crazy when I'm looking at it this way? She's like, honey, I love you. But I'm not.
I don't care.
I don't care. I'm working on cross-stitch right now, and she's working really well on it. It's really cool.
what is she making?
She's got a nephew in her life, so she just made a little like piece for him, which is a little blue whale, and Benjamin is his name, and it looks
cute.
Really cute. Yeah, it's a little whale with some hearts. It looks really nice. Aww. So, yeah, she's good. She's just working on one this weekend, which is it says, I came to slay, bitch, which is a Beyonce quote.
Oh.
She's a big Beyonce fan, so, yeah.
I love
nice.
It. Maybe I'll talk to her. I want one that says that just says "give no fucks." Like,
she'll glad would
do
that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'll talk to her.
But The Witness is great. I would highly recommend if you're looking for a game that you can kind of pick up and like spend a couple hours on. I think it's great. It's supposed to have like over 100 hours worth of gameplay, and I feel good when I play it, even if I'm only like fucking up again and again and again and again.
Does there start to become a story?
Not that I've found yet.
Okay.
That is the hard thing where it's like we're talking about these sort of narrative-driven games, and I'm like, in my mind, I am creating a story of what's going on. There's all these audio logs,
okay.
which are quotes from both religious people and religious texts from
real quotes,
and then also quotes from people in science. So you're starting to put this kind of idea around where it's like you do these line puzzles and then these laser beams come up, so it kind of feels like Lost in some ways. But again, right, it's not like there's something going on. It's called The Witness.
The Witness.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like when I get to the end, I think I'll be able to weigh in a lot more. But for the people who I've played with, everyone has the same idea where it's like, we really, really like this game. It is not like anything else I've ever played before.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Mist is the closest thing, but at least Mist felt like...
Mist vaguely had a story.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
This is, you're putting the story, what you think this world is and what it's going on, all on your own.
Okay.
So, yeah, Tim, what are you playing?
A few things. Inkle Studios Sorcery 2, I finished that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tough game unless you follow like a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
But really cool. Now I'm into Sorcery 3. Seems like a similar thing, but I highly recommend them. That's on mobile.
Saw you playing some more Nobunaga last night.
Played some Nobunaga. I got bit by that bug, dude. I got roped into this war that I didn't want to,
and now I'm
the only one that's putting my kids in this war, and everybody, all my other allies are like, yeah, we'll help, but they're not, okay? Mm-hmm. It's just my guys going up north and getting slaughtered.
Oh, boy. Lisa, this hard? Is this hard having to be?
Yeah. It's okay, Tim. I'm really sorry.
That's some girlfriend points right
there. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Valiant Hearts, The Great War, which is a really fun game. It seems like it's almost a little too kiddie for me.
Yeah.
Like it's like a very fun kiddie. Let's explore the like World War One, which is a dark topic, but it's really charming in a weird way. It's like fun, charming World War One puzzles. That's the only way I can describe it.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Now remind me, had you played This War of Mine before?
Oh no, sorry. That's This War of Mine.
No, but I know, but both of them are fairly similar.
Oh, yes.
So I wasn't curious. It's like, all right, so if we're talking about the wartime.
Well, but This War of Mine is so much darker.
Well, yeah, but it's like, I wonder, it's like, so does this seem kiddie having played This War of Mine? Or do you think it had you playing Valiant Hearts and then you played This War of Mine? Maybe Valiant Hearts would have a very different feel.
Oh, I think even regardless of what I'd played,
yeah,
Valiant Hearts would seem like a
childish.
Like teaching World War One to children. Mm-hmm. Through video games. It's fun, though.
Yeah,
I like
it's
it.
It's fun. All right.
I, if the subject matter wasn't there, it would be this kind of like remedial platformer that I don't know if I'd be into.
Platformer?
Yeah, largely. Like, it's
wow,
like
okay.
Platformer / mini game type of stuff.
All right.
But really educational. Hmm. Yeah. I'm going to impress chicks with my World War One trivia.
All right. That's a negative boyfriend
yeah,
point right
boyfriend
there.
Point.
Yeah, exactly,
minus
buddy.
Minus boyfriend point.
Hold on. You were the chick in that.
No, man. You wouldn't.
You said chicks plural.
Yeah, you said chicks. All right. That's negative two, by the way. Because
yeah,
you had to correct him. So, sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, and then I played this really sad game called That Dragon Cancer.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
me
folks.
Too. I played that, too.
All right. Well, we all played this game, and we'd heard about it. We'd heard some great things. We talked about it, like, about a month ago.
Yeah.
You said, hey, do you think about maybe playing That Dragon Cancer? I'm like, yeah, I've read some things.
Forgetting that you are a father of a young
child. Of a young, two-and-a-half-year-old. Yeah. So let's talk about what That Dragon Cancer is.
Yeah.
Let's talk about... I don't know, maybe the subject matter a little bit. Because, I mean, the thing is, I don't know how to... Like, we can talk about a game like Far Cry, and we can talk about what we liked and what we don't like, but this game was so sensitive in the terms of, like, how connected I was that it's, like, it's hard for me to think about talking about this game without it just turning into... It's hard being a human.
For starters, is this to give our audience a genre, is this a walking simulator? Is that what you'd call it?
That's actually a really great way to start because I don't know what this game, if I would even call it a game, is.
Yeah, I think it does call into question what a game is. And I listened to a Radiolab podcast. Mm-hmm. Did you listen to it?
I did not, but multiple people had referenced that. And I wanted to stay away from it because I didn't want that. I love that show and I didn't want it to influence what I thought about.
I actually heard the Radiolab podcast before. Like, it is what introduced me to the game.
Okay.
And I was sitting at work crying at my desk because listening to this Radiolab podcast is like, you're hearing the parents talk about what it was like to build this game. Because their son, a very young boy, gets brain cancer and it's them creating this game was them dealing with the fact that their son has brain cancer and it's incurable and they don't know what to do about it.
Oh, and I would ask you, so because I didn't listen to the Radio Lab episode, were they making it while he was sick?
Yes, they began it at the guys, they began this at the end of his life, and they are religious. Mm-hmm. It is overtly Christian. Mm-hmm. And they talk about wanting to help spread God's love through this video game as well. So it's a way for them to show the world that even in the darkest of pictures of life, there is something that can come of that, and you can still have hope. And this was their experience. And it was really interesting. The wife, her name is Amy Green, mm-hmm. I believe. Amy Green said that to complete the video game itself was almost to do their son a disservice and almost to do the project a disservice, because it was so cathartic for them to create. So it was so much for them to like make another world or another level, mm-hmm. or another thing. And it just somehow felt, you know, like they were keeping him alive, yeah. through that. So they were creating through his death and then beyond. Mm-hmm. And we will, I'm sure, talk through the game, but it is, because it's a short game.
It is. Yeah.
So if I'm gathering correctly, then the audio files, that was his voice.
That's
his voice.
For the most part.
For the most part. Because I was wondering the same thing. I was like, I have to get to the end to figure out. I knew that Chris is the father, right? I believe.
Yeah, I think
so.
I think
so it was like, all right, well, I know that's him, but I'm not sure if the wife is the actual wife, and I don't know if the kids are, but I was like, I need to get to the end to watch the credits. And once I saw that, like, the impact of, like, oh, this has all been – I was like, well, maybe they were taking, like, video files. Like, no, I feel like this is all audio recording in terms of them capturing this, and, like, it really mixed me up in terms of wondering. It's like, well – is this okay that this is how they were dealing with their son's life?
I had mixed feelings about that as well, mm-hmm. because I was 100% bored on any audio recordings that was just sort of, we're going to turn this on and then talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it felt like acting, if I'm being honest, that felt a little weird to me.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like we're going to talk about this probably in a non-linear sort of fashion.
Yes.
But I liked kind of like where we are right now. Like, there was a level... there's this moment in the game where the doctors come in, mm-hmm. and they're like, mm-hmm. you know, your child, he's got terminal cancer. There's no more treatment. The chemotherapy hasn't worked.
We can only give him palliative treatment.
Yes, exactly. We can make him comfortable.
God, that's a sad scene.
It's a super sad scene, and you start off, and there's a little speak and say, another thing I should also say, I have a 2-year-old son, and this is a very hard game to play.
I think that's important too, yes. to say that, like, Tim and I are a couple,
uh-huh.
in a serious relationship, and then you have a son.
Yes.
Like, this is kind of where we are in life in our early 30s.
Yeah.
This is a realistic thing.
It's a very realistic thing. And, like, I was wondering, it's like, so if I didn't have a son, how would I be thinking about this game? But, like, there were just moments where I was like, oh, I can picture Dennis playing with the speak and say. I can picture Dennis throwing. That's why in the beginning of the game, we were talking about this before we started. Like, I thought I could. My son has an ear infection right now. We went to the doctor, and it's hard when your kid is sick. It's very, very difficult. You want to help them. Ear infection and cancer, very fucking different.
Yeah.
But it still hurts you inside when you're a parent and you want your child to feel better. But the beginning of the game, Dennis is a hard day. I put him to sleep. I talked to Annette, my partner, and I'm like, hey, I want to play this game, That Dragon Cancer. And she listened to the Radio Lab, and she's like, are you sure? This sounds like a really intense game. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. We start the game out, and they're throwing bread to ducks. It's one of Dennis's favorite things. I'm sitting there bawling my eyes out. I close my computer. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this at all. It's too real. It's way too real. And there's moments like that where it was very real, but then there are other manipulative moments when, like with the speak and say, and it's going on, and it's like, you're hearing what the doctor is saying and you're hearing what the parents are saying, but there's these moments when, like, the internal stuff, what the parents are saying, and it feels, that's the word I'm looking for. Feels fake.
Or manipulative. More of a performance than a document.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe. Yeah. But I would say this, like, because just thinking in my head, like, is it that different from when someone goes through a tragedy and then they write like a play about it?
Well, one, someone writes a tragedy. If they are performing the play,
uh-huh.
That might be something where they're being a different person. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's also the difference of, like, we're suspending our disbelief in terms of it being a play versus a video game. And
yeah.
Oh, man, it's so tough. This game walks the line of being...
You don't want to criticize it.
You don't. And that was the thing. I'm playing this game, and I'm like, I really want to believe, but then there are some things that are taking me out of the experience,
uh-huh.
either through the actual design of the game being kind of weird or not being clear, or that, like, just the subject matter getting to me or, like, hitting me in the wrong spot. And I just felt really messed up the whole game.
Gosh, that's really interesting to hear. Just have it, like... So I re-listened to the Radiolab podcast uh-huh. today about it because I was really intrigued when I heard it in late December. And as he was building the game, you know, clearly it was just a response to the feelings he was having.
Right.
And he kept going back over and then re-landscaping everything because nothing felt quite right mm-hmm. every time he would do it. One specific instance that they talk about in that podcast is the cathedral.
Yeah.
So the cathedral portion, there was a night, I guess, where their son Joel mm-hmm. is this child's name. Their son Joel was they had already gotten – the word that he was not going to survive. They were going through palliative treatment. He was sick. It was at night, and he was really going through a sick episode that night. And so they invited all of the people from their church over, and they had sort of a service and a mass and a worship there. And so all of those, and they recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things that you, when you're in the cathedral in the video game, there are points where you, like, hit the mm-hmm, piano mm-hmm, in front mm-hmm. of you, and you'll hear people's voices.
Yeah.
Most notably, you'll hear mom and dad's voice say things like, "Lord, please raise our son." And she's like, the mom says something like, "I will not leave until you bless him," mm-hmm. and all of this. But those are recordings from that night. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful, but they let you sit in that, I think, is what's so striking.
Quite a while,
about
yeah.
this game.
Quite a while.
Yes.
Quite a while. To the point, I mean, this game does a good job of that. There's the drowning level.
Yeah.
You know, where you keep trying to go up. If you're underwater with the dad, you keep trying to go up, and it's not working. You finally, it took me a while to realize that. I was like, well, the game's broken. You know, I can't go up. What's going on? I'm like, oh, I have to go down towards the light and swim that way. And it's just small stuff like that where they really make you sit in some of these moments and mm-hmm. and feel it.
Yeah, well, and again, like, not to jump back in about this Radiolab thing, but mm-hmm. it was interesting hearing the dad talk about what he was feeling, because his whole inspiration for this video game came from the scene where he's in the hospital room and his son can't stop crying.
I love that scene.
It's
love
great.
The
it's
that, I mean, that scene alone is the reason to play the game.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
scene alone is the reason to play this game.
Yeah,
like,
you must have identified
100%
right?
yeah. having a son who's been in the hospital due to sickness and has been in a situation where he was young and couldn't calm himself down,
and
I
can't communicate.
You can't
either.
Communicate,
yeah.
and all, and it, you just your skin is crawling, and you just you are. And there's a moment where he starts praying. And it's like, I know that feeling. I know that feeling as a lapsed Catholic, as someone's like, please, I will reach to anything. Make something stop this. Do something. Doctors, and you get angry and all these different feelings.
And you're probably like, you can't control it, but you're probably getting pissed at your kid too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's a completely natural feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when your child is healthy, it's a completely
yeah.
natural feeling to be pissed off at your child because they're a little animal.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was really interesting hearing him talk about it, because he does relay those feelings mm-hmm. that you're yeah. talking about, of like just frustration and yeah. and his son, Joel, not knowing what to do, would just like hit his head up against
yeah.
the bars.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Chris Green talks about this moment, where it wasn't until he was asking Jesus for help that his son finally laid down and went to sleep. And he wanted a game. he was talking to his wife about it, and he wanted a game that gave the user that feeling,
mm-hmm.
gave that user that feeling of helplessness until there's nothing you can do but just sit mm-hmm. and wait or pray or like those things. And I think this video game definitely does that yeah. where you're that drowning scene mm-hmm. was a big one for me where I was like, yes, this scene does that for me. It was frustrating and mm-hmm. like and sort of that weird metaphor for life, which is that like you want something to happen to you so hard that like no matter how much you scrape or try anything, like it's not going to happen until you just like sit and wait for it to happen yeah. or, you know.
You have to let go. You have to give up control, which is really fucking hard for anybody to give up control. To be like, all right, I'm not, you know, your ego is telling you, no, I'm in control. I could do all of this stuff. And you just having to let go and be like,
that's why we
gonna happen.
Play video games. They give us control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Which made it such a cool platform for mm-hmm. this type of an artistic idea, which is like, no, like, I want to play a game. And it calls into question what a game is. Right?
Yeah.
To switch gears just a little bit.
Please.
Were there moments where, I'm going to be blunt about this, mm-hmm. the Christianity was too much for you?
No, I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church, so it didn't bother me.
Sure.
You know, and though I'm not a practicing Catholic, that is still an aspect of my life where it's hardwired in me. It's hard for me to not think about that. But as someone who's sensitive to other people who are not Christians, I could be like, oh, this is totally going to turn people off. You know?
Yeah, but I feel like it's not is it a Christian game? I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't read it as that, but I guess for me there was moments where it wasn't preachy. It wasn't like, you know, come to the Lord and the Lord will take away
it
all
your... wasn't that. You're totally right. It was like grieving Christian couple simulator.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and it made sense. Again, it was like it wasn't like they weren't Christian and then they became Christian.
Right.
And I mean, the problem I had in the game is there wasn't enough from Amy's point of view.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Me too.
You know, like Chris seemed like a nice guy, but anytime I could get away from Chris and I could just focus on Amy, I don't know what it was, but I liked it so much more.
Mm-hmm.
There were times like, oh, again, in the scene where the you're talking with the doctors when Amy reveals that she's pregnant again.
Yeah. Mm.
And she's like, everyone's going to think that this is a replacement baby. Everyone's going to think that this baby is going to be a replacement. And she even says to God, she's like, I'm not going to love this baby, so you might as well not give it to me.
There was like some brilliant, like, I don't even know if writing's the right way to say it, but the fact that they included some of these thoughts they mm-hmm. had was so brave.
Yeah.
And when I found out it was all of them and this is something they were creating together, it was like, oh, so this isn't an actress.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't a writer. This is literally how the mom felt.
Yeah.
And how fucking brave, and I really mean that, how brave it is for her and for Chris to put themselves out there in this, and I love video games, but in a video game community that is so toxic, that is so critical, is so angry. It's incredible what they did. It's just, it is polarizing in certain sort of ways. Even within the game, it felt that way.
Yeah.
And I think similarly, it's like that you were talking about wanting more from Amy's point of view. Mm-hmm. I loved the moments where we got to see their relationship, which is like, you see their relationship in that doctor's office a little bit, but then when they're cuddling on the couch in the sea mm-hmm. of everything, guys, a lot of what we're describing is really abstract.
Metaphorical.
Because
the
game is like abstract and metaphorical. But they're cuddling on the couch in the midst of this mm-hmm. drowning feeling, which was like, wow, those images are really powerful. And to hear them fight was interesting. And to hear her, there was also a moment where she was leaving him sort of innocuous voicemail messages, but I loved them because it was like, the boys did something really lovely today and they were talking about wanting to be cookers. Mm-hmm, they wanted
the
to
eggs,
they were making eggs
and that starts out as her being angry
at
a situation she can't control, and then even within the voicemail she turns it. And she's like, I'm just happy that the boys are there.
Yeah. And it was also tinged with sadness mm-hmm. because you know that one of them doesn't survive what he's going through. I mean, it was just the whole way through, I had a lump in my throat. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want that for 2 hours, like, maybe avoid this game.
That's
maybe something you don't want.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can definitely get to that point because, I mean, I never feel like this is a show where we review a video game. That's not what we do. Someone asked me that. They're like, oh, so you guys review video games? I'm like, no, we don't really review them. We yeah. talk about them in sometimes a critical way, but I don't think we're ever like A plus or 9 out of 10.
8.7 yeah. from no, Tim. But no, like, yeah.
we always will give a recommendation of like, this was fun. I enjoyed this experience. Or, nah, I didn't really enjoy this experience, but you might be something. I mean, I don't know if I would recommend other people play this video game.
Yeah.
But I know I really love it.
Yeah, this isn't like Gone Home.
It's
this
not. It's not like Journey. It's not like anything else I've ever played before.
No. Well, yeah.
It actually, sorry to interrupt, but it also.
Lisa, you're all right. You can interrupt.
I'm always interrupting.
Stop it. Stop it.
Sorry, but I interrupted my boyfriend. Is that like negative?
That's fine.
No,
oh,
no,
for sure.
No, no,
what?
No, no, no.
Girl point?
No.
What?
No, it's not negative. What are you talking about?
Okay. So it actually reminded me of you guys on a previous episode had talked about a video game where it's. It was about the south side of Chicago.
We are Chicago, yeah.
Right? So where you as the character are playing someone who lives on the south side and the experiences they have. And purposely, that particular video game does not show you like what color skin you mm-hmm. have. And I thought that that sort of compared to this video game as far as asking the question, what is a game anymore? And what purpose... video games serve as art mm-hmm. and a message. And I thought that I think we're growing up now in an age where we've had Mario. We've had all these games that are like fun and dumb and like escapism mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And now I think we're coming into this cool renaissance of video games of that tell a story and have a message and are and declare themselves an art form, which I think is a really fun, exciting time for our like game playing older generation of game mm-hmm. players.
100%. I completely agree, Lisa. Because I said to myself when I was playing the game, I had to take a break because I cried a fucking ton.
We should talk about that next.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I had to. I had to stop. I was like, I can't binge this. I can't push myself through. I need to get up. I need to mm-hmm. go and walk the dog and give my son a hug.
Yeah.
And be so fucking happy. Just take myself out of the sadness that this game allows you to feel. Does it make you feel? It allows you to feel that.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, would I enjoy this more if this was a film? If this was a short film? And I said, no, I think I would be bored with it because it would be obvious what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But by playing a game, it allowed me, even though the gameplay mechanics were very loose, it felt like I was having almost more like an art experience. You know?
There's a kart racing section.
There is
That's
a kart racing section.
Joke.
But the kart racing section, along with the platforming section, felt yeah. very much where it's like this breath and then this fucking
yes.
punch yep. to the yep. stomach.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, hey, remember this? You're a gamer. This
yeah,
is something
yeah,
you like.
Right?
And then...
Yeah, and then you're getting these things and you realize. And again, I'm not going to spoil that part. This whole podcast is about spoilers, but I'm not going to spoil those moments because those moments right there are so clear and so smart in terms mm-hmm. of what it's doing with the knowledge, just like you're saying, of you have all this lexicon of what it means to have a video game
yeah.
and here we're using that and we're elevating to the next level. That's so smart. It's so great. And you're absolutely right, Lisa, like it's doing something that other video games won't do mm-hmm. and it makes me think about a game like Gone Home, which 2 years ago mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's one of the best games I've played, and now I'm saying like, boy, without Gone Home we wouldn't have this game.
Yeah
I agree with
and
that.
And that's
yeah.
wonderful
yeah.
It's wonderful to see that sort of continuation, you know,
yeah,
iteration on a theme or a topic, and seeing this, like, well, Gone Home was a game changer the same way that something like The Last of Us is a game changer
yeah.
in terms of subject matter, but they're all a continuation of something like, what can we do, what else can we do with this, the medium?
Yeah, I think that also it makes me think of two ways to sort of change games. Like, I think this is changing from the outside in,
yeah,
for sure, but Last of Us was like a AAA title that fucked with you in a way that no game like, no zombie game mm-hmm. could mm-hmm. ever, which is from the inside out,
yeah.
you know. But I do want to ask both of you, do you think it would have been as powerful if it was not created by the person that went through it? Like, if this was just some tiny developer's random indie game, and it was like, we're going to simulate what it's like, we did some research, and then created this, like, do you think it would have the same impact?
I would have maybe been angry.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it would have been like, what a piece of shit. Like, here's a guy who, you know, maybe he's lost his grandfather uh-huh. in his lifetime. And then he comes in and tries to create. I don't. He couldn't have created this game.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot more like accessible to gamers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would have been, I don't know, a lot more face value, a lot more acty.
Yeah, it wouldn't have felt personal. There were moments in this game that were ugly that mm-hmm. wouldn't have existed if someone hadn't gone through it themselves.
You mentioned the fights. I loved the fight between he's going to make it and you need to let me feel depressed right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was brilliant and such a like, these people have obviously been married for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're showing different ways that people grieve or different stages, I guess.
And still, at no point was I ever like, the two of them might get a divorce.
No.
I never, ever Mm-mm. felt that way. Mm-mm. It was like them just having different ways of grieving and still being completely united in grief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, I agree with you. I really, really love the fights. And then as parents, the thing that I worried about, and this is more for me as a parent, I was afraid that suddenly we were going to hear the other kid's point of view. And that would have crossed a line in terms of,
I get that.
As adults can do this, but don't put your kid in this sort of game and make them do something that they might not necessarily have a choice in doing. Both Chris and Amy, I feel like they were adults. They could make a choice to do this. But if they were like, hey, I need you to talk about Joel for this video game. Like, again, like a lot of their recordings were themselves and the sort of audio recording of them as a family. But there was never a moment where we heard their other sons talk about what Joel meant to them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would have put me out,
you
I
know,
think.
You know, there were a couple of moments where we heard the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, but I thought that it was done well. It was never in a way that was it was never in a way that was with their grief.
Mm-hmm.
It was with their innocence.
Yes.
And the way that they understood the situation as it was happening, which is, you know, it was like, can Joel come home with us mm-hmm. right now? Or like, why can't Joel do this? Why can't Joel talk right now? What's wrong? He's almost four. Shouldn't he be able to talk?
Mm-hmm.
But, and will he be able to talk?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that those were beautiful moments of like how they are understanding it as a family. And it should also maybe be said then that Chris and Amy have a number of other boys.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, they had Joel, but now four or five kids altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a big family that all went through this like pretty horrific ordeal.
Yeah.
So going more into like things that actually happened in the game, when did we all cry? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, when did we cry?
I think it's more a question of when wasn't I crying. And I don't mean that in any sort of facetious
thing.
No,
I understand.
There were moments in the game where I would get frustrated, but like again, just these waves would hit me.
Did you play it all in one playthrough?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense where it's like I would stand up and I would go and walk around for 30 minutes and I'd come back and I was like, I couldn't separate myself from the game where I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go make dinner and go to sleep. It was like, no, this is a situation I have to do in one setting. Or else honestly, maybe this is me being silly, but I was like, I felt like I'd be doing the creators a disservice.
Yeah.
I had to take like an 8-hour break on account of scheduling mm-hmm. Between the two halves. And I think it broke up the momentum a little bit.
Where did you stop?
Where did I stop? Might've been the drowning.
Sure. Yeah. And that section is fairly long,
yeah.
And it's not necessarily obvious what you need to do. But I think that's on purpose. It
yeah.
feels like a slog, and that is the hard part of it. You know, you're not really – that's one of the more abstract parts.
I definitely – I really was like first half hour I was like, well, this isn't really getting me. Like I get what they're doing, but then it was this moment where the mom was like – talking about the mom was talking and she was like, I hope one day we come back here and you are just bored.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that like that's my wish that that this like annoys you but so long as you're here with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh.
The ending in the forest killed me.
Yeah.
The pictures at the end killed me.
Ugh. Yeah, the pictures are. I mean, I think it's really brave what they did in terms of like making Joel's face kind of pixelated and strange throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
His voice is, you know, affected.
And he's the cutest goddamn kid.
When you finally see his face, you're just like, oh god, damn it, you know?
He's got big, like, cross eyes for a lot of it. He's really cute. The whole beginning, you know, I think it's how much you related to it is where you cried. Because, like you, Kellen, I related to the duck, like, feeding the ducks. And going in, I mean, we all three knew what we were getting into when we got into the game,
100%.
Right?
I would not unleash this on a person.
No.
But do you think that the average person would cry going into this game if they did not know?
I think they would eventually start crying, yes.
And where do you think in the game they would figure out what...
What this game is?
What this game is.
Oh, good question. Probably not for like an hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because maybe not till they get into the hospital.
The hospital, I think, is where it would be.
And you're seeing all the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I cried. I definitely had a good cry at that beginning during the ducks because I knew that Joel was no longer with us, but he was having such a great time feeding those ducks and giggling. You, like, hear his laughter and having a good time. And then... and then in the hospital again, I did go through and look at a lot of those pictures because in a way it felt like, you know, it was another way as the player for you to honor the game.
I'm admitting this and I'm embarrassed about this, but when I first walked through the hospital, I was like, fuck you for putting those pictures up there.
Yeah,
because I was like, how manipulative this? And then you're like, boy, I'm going to stay in here. And I'm kind of bored of just walking around. And I would start, and I did the same thing. And I walked around, and I was like, man, this is tough. And then when you see all the cards.
The cards.
It was just like, I picked up the first card, and it's that, you see the date on it, and you're like, not going to look at this. And then you start looking at the other ones, you're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, well, are these headstones? Are these all these different sort of things? And it just... Again, I'm feeling so visceral about it too. You know, I mean, cancer in a larger sense affects all of us.
It's
one of those things where it's not like we are like, well, you know, cancer is something that affects people in South America, you know, like,
or only smokers.
You know, and I
do also feel like cancer is pretty synonymous with death in our culture, the culture that we live in, which is, you know, there are plenty of cancer survivors, my father being one of them. It's like that when you go through a game like this, it definitely is like, oh, these people died because of the same thing. And it really puts into a stark light how important discoveries like the one that we've all been hearing about, this quote unquote possible cancer cure thing, is
the immunotherapy. Right?
Immunotherapy. Yeah. So I don't know. It just really, I had to stop looking at the cards in that section too.
Yeah.
So I was like, I saw a few and I was sobbing and I was like, okay, I just need to walk through anywhere else in the hospital.
Yeah, you needed to. And the really positive thing, again, going back to the scene where Joel is crying, the arcade game is in the bathroom.
I love the arcade game too.
And the arcade game was great, but I can remember having been in the hospital with Dennis. Dennis was very young and he got a urinary tract infection, and being in the hospital with him and him crying and being frustrated and being able to pull up my phone and it just escape for a second, you know, going in the bathroom and playing a video game so I could escape from that sort of pain, and literally walking into the bathroom and the video machine wouldn't work. And I kept coming back into the video game machine. Oh, or maybe it'll work now, and it wouldn't. And having to live in that scene and just be like, oh, this is – I have to engage with this crying baby even though I know I cannot affect it. I'm going to continue to try and try and try. And I did the same thing with cards. I eventually got to a certain point where I was like, I want to feel what the cards say. But at a certain point, I can't look at the cards anymore because they don't have an effect on me. It was like I was starting to feel numb, and I'm like, well, that's a disservice to the people who the cards are in reference to. Because all of those people, same thing with the pictures in the hospital, those are all real situations. Those are real artifacts from the world.
And real families. Yes. Yeah. I also think that was a really neat thing to do, to have so many of them, because I do feel like at a certain point, everyone will feel like this is too much. And you and I saw different cards. Mm-hmm. And you and I saw different cards. And we didn't all see all of the same, you know. Yeah. So I thought that was also a really neat and brilliant thing to add, which is that helps to uniqueify this experience.
There's that social media manager right
there.
Yeah,
uniqueify.
That's me, uniqueify. It's a word. I'm coining that word. So.
Oh, okay.
Webster, hashtag Webster's Dictionary.
Hashtag Webster's.
This is an episode where I really wish Clayton was here. Because, like,
I was just thinking about that.
I'm just like, fuck you, Clayton. Why aren't you here right now to get us out of this? Like, we have such, like, I'm trying to get to, like, bring us up. And it's like, I just can't.
We knew what we were getting into with this episode.
We also knew that it was, like, great. If there's an episode where Quentin's not going to be here, we might as well talk about this because. Man, oh, man.
You heard how little he talked when we talked about We Are Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, he was not going to chime in on this episode.
And really, guys, you can't see this, but Clayton is here right now. He's
yeah.
He's just not saying anything.
He's just huddled and holding himself.
Mm-hmm. The cathedral, too, I think it should be mentioned that the cathedral was supposed to be the inside of Joel. I don't know if you noticed.
I did not know that.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was another... bit that I learned on Radiolab, uh-huh. which is like the cross hatches on top, those were sort of his ribs.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then you were inside of him. And then at the edges, all throughout this video game, at the edges, there are always these like gross looking mm-hmm. green glob or like green black globs
that are moving and twitching in a way that is so unnatural.
That are what are the metastatic mm-hmm. cells or something
right.
like that? Yeah,
and it's clear. Right, it's clearly the cancer. Yeah. But apparently, the Radiolab portion shared that this was the most difficult scene for them to create because.
The cathedral?
The cathedral scene, because, and that's actually the title of the Radiolab episode. It's called The Cathedral, because they went through a bunch of different iterations of it, and what they ended up with was something very simple, but they at one point had an entire amusement park on the inside of the cathedral, which was commemorating, like, everything that Joel loved.
Oh, okay.
So you would have gone through an amusement park, but at one point they thought it made too much light of mm-hmm. that particular scene. So they ripped all of it out. And then, you know, what you're left with is this beautiful, like you're lighting candles and you're pressing the piano mm-hmm. to hear people's prayers. But
the cathedral was actually not my favorite. I don't even know, but I kept thinking there was like a puzzle to the cathedral.
Right.
Which threw me off, but mm-hmm. you just sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it and it makes you try a bunch of different things. I mean, I went through, like, I tried pressing all of the keys all
Me too.
At once.
Yeah.
I was doing the same thing and, like, lighting all the candles at once.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, I mean, walking away from the game, I felt like there were a lot of times where I got angry at the game because I was fighting against it. And then you're done with it. You're like, man, it's trying to make me do that.
Yes.
It
yeah.
is, I, as a parent, I, as a father, I am fighting against this because I want to not feel this way anymore, and the game is showing me that I can't. And every time I would get there, I'm like, take a big deep breath.
Games are supposed to have answers.
Yes. And again, having played The Witness right now, where it's like, well, there is a clear line puzzle that will solve this, and here was a situation where it's like, no, man, you just got to live in it.
Yeah.
That last scene with the pancakes.
Aww.
Yeah, that's where I was fucking bawling at the end.
I'm not saying if you don't cry in that scene, you're not a human being, but...
Kind of.
I mean,
and the fact that he's so happy.
Yeah.
You get there. So what they're talking about is you get there and you're let into this beautiful meadow, and
it's similar
by
to the
trees.
Beginning of this the episode game.
Yeah. And then Joel is sitting there on a picnic blanket mm-hmm. with plates of pancakes that are as big as him, mm-hmm.
and a dog that he can feed them to.
Dog and. And I don't know if that's Joel's voice, but
I
didn't care at that point. I was like, it doesn't matter if this is Joel's voice or not Joel's voice. There's a couple times where you sort of hear Joel's voice, and it throughout the game, it's obvious that Joel has not like developmental issues, but because of the radiation, he's not developing as quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you hear his voice, he almost has a little affectation to it. It sounds like he's slightly deaf or he's having a hard time speaking. And to finally hear him speak. After you've known that he's passed, after you know he's gone, to see in the game has gotten so dark and so dreary, and to see him in the meadow and to see him happy and to be talking to you, either as the parents or you as the player.
Yeah.
One of the more brilliant aspects of this game, just to have like, here, he's here. This is all you need.
Yeah. And you as the player and as the like, you know, me as a person who's listened to Radiolab and like heard and read up on this game, it's like, you know, he's gone, but that he's in a better place. And that in a way, I really wonder what the parents feel about the end of this game, because I wonder if this is like a place they can come, if this end of this game for them at all means solace, or if it is painful, because the end of this is so beautiful, and you've got a bubble maker and you're like blowing
the bubbles.
And he's giggling.
He's like, more bubbles.
And the thing is, like, eventually you'll sort of walk away, but I tested it a few times, if you guys didn't as well, which, like, if you move the cursor again, it'll bring you right back to the meadow. So if you don't want to leave, you don't have to leave until you're ready.
Until you're ready, yeah. And I stayed there for a while. I honestly did. I was like, this is fine. I can sit here. I can let this feeling, I can allow the tenseness in my chest to melt away, because I don't want to leave.
I don't think I did leave. I think it just blacked out.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine, the screen of it, like the camera started panning up.
Oh, yes,
over
that's
the,
what I did. Yeah, that's what
right?
happened.
Right, so the camera starts panning up and over, but if you move the cursor again and want to go back, you can. And I bawled. Once I realized that was the effect of the game, I started bawling, because I was like, oh, if I want to stay here forever, I can, and just play with Joel. And he feels no pain here, and he is not in a hospital, and I'm no longer drowning. Like, this is just the one. I mean,
and
he
says he can eat all the pancakes he wants, and he never gets full.
He never gets, yeah. And it's really amazing to see Joel alone, because throughout the game, he's connected to tubes.
Yeah.
And it's the color palette in this game is really, really smart. Like, obviously, the chemotherapy has this really neon sort of feel to it. And then, you know, when you're in the drowning scene, he's always with his mom in this rowboat without any oars. Joel is always being protected. There's always these sort of invasive things in Joel's, the character of Joel in the game, in his life. So to finally see him alone like he is in the beginning, just by himself, surrounded by things that he loves and things that help him, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've talked about this, but then all the pictures at the end. Just open weeping, just sobbing, weeping. Because through the game, too, like you said, his face is blurred out, so he doesn't have a face in it.
We both needed to be held after playing this
game. We definitely did. We don't live together. We, like, knocked on each other's doors.
Yeah.
Can I just have a hug?
Well, I give it 7.2 out of 10.
I will say this. There were moments in the game, and if I can add some brevity to the game, where I thought – so this shows that it was a completely well-made game. The soundtrack of the game, something we haven't talked about, really, really well done in terms of its subtlety, not manipulative. But there are times where I was like, boy, if you put some EDM under this, it would have a totally different feel. Really, just like some real heavy drums and bass.
It is, in my opinion, not replayable.
Yeah.
I will not replay that game. No. I am glad that I played through it once. The Radiolab is worth a listen.
I'm going to listen to it now.
Yeah. You gotta.
Yeah.
And just to hear the parents' voices and just like to hear the parents talk about the game is worth it.
It's like a hopeful requiem for a dream. I never have to ever
experience
it again.
Yeah.
But I think it has an uplifting message.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah. I mean, this game has taught me, has spoken to me more as a human being and as a parent than any other game has, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love playing Gone Home. Playing Firewatch, when we finally get to talk about Firewatch, there's a lot of stuff.
Is Firewatch on par with Gone Home in those sorts of ways?
I think so.
Okay.
I 100% think so. But I also have a very different a very different case than Clayton's going to make for the game.
I had no idea the guy from Mad Men voices.
Yeah, kid. Yeah, he's
That's
great.
Really funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely worth playing. But I think if you go in blind, I almost feel like you're doing yourself a disservice.
Totally.
I think you need to know what you're getting into. I think you need to know that you got to be – same thing we see in a movie like Requiem for a Dream. If you're like, I don't know, what's this? Bjork's in this. I don't like Bjork. And you throw it in there, you are not ready for that. You have to be open and ready for it. And you know, and having that experience. And I'm also glad, again, the game is not expensive, and I felt so happy to be able to be putting that money towards that family.
Yeah.
Real quick, if they make a sequel or a follow-up game, what is that going to feel like? Is that going to feel you're like, oh, a little dirty? Or
here
is that
how they could do it. If it was a couple years down the line still struggling with their grief,
mm-hmm.
maybe. But I was joking in my head about that mm-hmm. earlier. But right? there's no way.
Here's what I feel like. I feel like if it were... It has to have just as much feeling and weight as this one did,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be from just as good of a place.
Yeah.
It cannot have been a sequel that was like, we made a sequel to make a sequel to that game. It's got to be, here's where our family's at now. Joel is an ever-present person in our
right.
life,
mm-hmm.
and here's how honest we are about it. Like, it's got to be that honest as well, you know?
And I'd play that game.
Totally.
In a heartbeat, I'd play that game.
Yeah, I think this game has a lot to – we have a lot to thank this game as far as pushing the medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. And again, I wouldn't say we're going to notice how good this game is now in
uh-huh.
a year, in 2 years, when other games say like, oh, yeah, I played that Dragon Cancer. I said, wow, it made me think about what games could be. And I realized that I had a story that I wanted to tell.
Well, and that asks a great question. What do you think this game is going to do – now for games going forward, do you think we are going to see more games like it?
I think it takes the place that Gone Home had as this example
mm-hmm.
of what you can do with yeah. games when there's no combat or I don't know, you have one singular message you're getting across
mm-hmm.
and you just do that. It doesn't need to be 60 hours. It can be 2 hours, you know.
Can we go around and say what video games we might write as a response to this game?
Because again, like, both Gone Home, Firewatch, and this game were all created on Unity,
yeah.
uh-huh. which is a really easy way to create video games, and it is amazing to think about. It's like, oh yeah, how could I tell a story about being a single father in the comedy world in Chicago, where it's
yeah.
like, you're like, all right, cool. So it's like almost like a resource management game, being like, all right, well, I have this much energy. My son requires this much energy. My comedy and ego career requires this much energy. My work requires this much energy. How could I do all of
yeah.
this in terms of telling a story that maybe is not going to be as heartbreaking as that,
yeah.
but is going to be as real as Gone Home and Firewatch and as this game is? And that's all it is. It's like, well, let's not create a fantasy like Mario is.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that's really happening to
yeah.
us. And people will be drawn to that the same way people are drawn to stories and television and music and books and everything. You
that's
know?
So interesting. I mean, similarly, I was like, okay, who am I as like an early 30-something female in the world? And there are all these things coming out now where the woman, like, there's a woman who wore that a video on her backpack to show how often she got catcalled
yeah.
or like
mm-hmm.
those things. So I'm like, I guess that's a unique point of view that I have, like, just being a woman, but also coming from a middle class family and not feeling like I have as much as my family did
mm-hmm.
growing up, like the struggle to make money, like you said, like just that balance, the
mm-hmm.
life balance
yeah.
that it feels like we don't have or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, all these games we're talking about are slightly based in tragedy
yeah.
and that will be the next iteration, is like, how can you take what other might call mundane
yeah.
and realize that it is so unique and it doesn't necessarily have to be heart-wrenching
yeah.
to actually be worth a video game.
Yeah.
You know? Or that'll be the thing. The Before Sunrise video game will be the next thing.
Is that Southside? What is that Southside video game called again?
We Are Chicago.
We are Chicago.
Coming up soon. I
yeah,
believe.
And that's a good example of what games are going to slightly be. Because, I mean, social issues, Gone Home again, a social issue. I mean, cancer is a social issue, but that will be the next sort of places. Like,
I mean, I still want to make that. I'm not joking. I still want to make that role-playing game where you're trying to unionize a college football team.
Yeah. I know you're not joking.
I would love that.
I get it.
Do you think that there will be a divide between video games that are like Fallout 4 or like first-person shooter type games, like a divide between those games that are not necessarily as touchy-feely and then this other form of game?
I mean, yeah, I just think the market is so open now that it doesn't matter. Like, people will buy this game and people will buy that game,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I think that you can say the same thing. We didn't talk about it last time, but Game Trailers
uh-huh.
closed down, you know?
The website?
The website. shut down. Yeah, yeah. So game trailers is kind of like a middle ground sort of place for video game journalism. IGN, GameSpot, those are the high tiers. Those are your AAA places. But then a place you have like, you know, Bleeding Cool or Jim Sterling, all these kind of like crowdfunded stuff. I think the same thing in video games is you're going to see less of the middle ground being there. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your AAA games and they will be blockbusters. And then you're going to have more stuff like this, which is
cheap.
Made by a small development team,
but with,
which might not be played by everybody in the world, but will have such a strong following that that will start to snowball more and more. And I think that's going to be better for the medium than games like Fallout 4, because Fallout 4, really great game, but can only do so much because it is trying to do so much.
Yeah.
Versus this game isn't trying to do a lot and packs a huge fucking punch. You know,
interesting.
I prefer that. You know.
Yeah, I think it's going through the same sort of transformation. Just about every artistic community is going through right now.
Yeah.
Boy, what an episode!
Yeah. I think between Tim and I won this episode.
In terms of the boyfriend girlfriend point,
should I not have said that I was going to use my World War I trivia to impress chicks?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's where I lost.
That's where you lost. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you know that? Like when mustard gas was first introduced, that soldiers would use urine-soaked rags to protect themselves from the gas.
They what?
Mm-hmm.
They used urine-soaked on their face
because of the ammonia. The ammonia would.
Do you want a kiss?
Yes, I do, Lisa.
Oh God,
if people want to find you or see you perform something, where could they find you or see you?
Well, everybody, you can find me at. There is a funeral show in the Beat Lounge at Second City on March 5th.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's the last Friday, it's the first Friday in March at 8 p.m. I will be commemorating Titanic's Jack Dawson with my tin whistle. You can see me play tin whistle.
Cool.
The second two Fridays in March, you can find me in the musical Armando at IO Theater at 8 p.m. on Friday nights. So come see that. Also, I'm now the marketing director of Gamebox Monthly, which is a monthly subscription service. So check us out online if you like board games.
Nice.
Very nice. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Terrett. Find me on Instagram at Dr. Terrett if you want to see photos of my son. That's public. He's a cute kid. He's a really cute kid. You can also catch me at the Annoyance on Sunday night at 8 o'clock at the Triple Feature. The final time to see me as the titular character, Dr. Dildo, in The Return of Dr. Dildo. Oh no, Dr. Dildo Strikes Again, The Return of the BBD, which stands for Big Black Dildo.
Love it.
I don't have any live stuff coming up, but follow me at Timothy Ardun on Twitter. I've been plugging it for so long, but it is actually coming out soon. Board Life, a series of sad existential YouTube board game tutorials coming out very soon.
Everyone's excited for it. As we said at the top of the show, please review us on iTunes. Give us a review. We'd love to hear from you. It helps us. It helps other people follow and find our show. If you liked this episode, please share it. Let us know what you thought. If you happen to know the developers for some...
We'd love to talk to them.
We would love to talk
to them.
We'll
do a second episode.
We absolutely would. And who knows? Maybe we'll do an episode where Clayton plays this game and we'll get his take on it.
Oh, my God. Who should we have on next week to lighten the mood?
Oh gosh.
Murdoch? Should we get Murdoch on?
Yeah, Murdoch.
We can get him on.
I think Murdoch would be real good.
Dude, Murdoch, if you're hearing this, don't play this game.
I really drug us down.
Don't say that, Lisa.
No,
Lisa,
it's fine.
You did more research for this episode than
really
I think
did.
We've ever done on this whole show.
It's okay, guys.
Do you want me to? Oh, sorry. Were you gonna say something?
I was gonna say, like, if you guys ever like are having too light of a mood, just give me a call. Like,
sounds
I'll
great.
Swing in, lower the mood.
Sounds wonderful.
Do you want me to take us out with
take us out, Tim? Take us out with your best Clayton impression.
Hey, it's me, Mario, and play my game, Mario's, that dragon cancer.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.